resonates all the way through Luke Acts with this idea of the promise of the baptism of the Spirit. And Jesus tells them, go in Jerusalem and wait, because not many days from now, you will receive the Spirit of God. And of course, this happens in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit is distributed on all those believers who are present, and Peter gets up and gives a speech from a variety of Old Testament scriptures to underscore the fact this is part of the program of God on the one hand, and what is happening is part of God's design on the other. After all, Luke Acts is about the program and plan of God. And so this is done through four Old Testament texts. Joel 2, 28 to 32, highlighting the fact that the Spirit is going to be distributed on all God's people, people of every age, people of every gender, people of every social status. Psalm 16, 8 through 11, 15 in the Septuagint, is the idea that the Messiah will not be held in death, but that he will be resurrected. Psalm 132, verse 11, the idea that one who is promised to sit on David's throne will receive the promises of God. The idea that God will work through the Messiah to do what he's going to do. In Psalm 110:1, the idea that someone will be asked to sit at the right hand of God with him in heaven. And so in Acts 2, verses 30 to 36, we get the declaration of the realization of this promise and the highlight of what it means. As Peter says this about David, and being a prophet and knowing that by an oath God swore that out of his seed, out of the fruit of his loins is literally what it says, one would be made to sit on his throne. And having foreseen, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he would not be abandoned to Hades, nor would his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of this we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this what you see and hear. And then it goes on to cite Psalm 110:1. And then in verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know most assuredly, God has made this one, this Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And so in this passage, the presence of the Spirit is the evidence that the new era has come, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Lord. And this speech actually has a series of word linkages in it that are pretty interesting. I'm just going to mention one of them, but there are literally almost a dozen. The phrase where it says, and he's poured out that which you see and hear in verse 33, alludes back to the citation of Joel at the very beginning of the speech when it says, and I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's the same verb in both locations. And so the idea here is of an exaltation and the presence of the Spirit being the proof that Jesus is the Messiah, and also the proof that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that God has vindicated him. Well, our drama continues when we move into Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is visiting with Cornelius, and he's sharing the gospel with Cornelius as the first Gentile. And in the midst of the speech, the Spirit of God comes down on the Gentiles as Peter is speaking. He doesn't even get the privilege of issuing an altar call and having the organ play. God acts beforehand because God is the main actor in Luke Acts, and all the key actions are triggered by something that he does. Anyway, in verse 44, it says, while Peter was yet speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those who were with him, those believers who were with him, those out of the circumcision who were believers who were with him, were amazed. In fact, I think if we had sound to go with the Bible, what we would have here is the Spirit would come down and they would go, did you see that? As the Spirit descends on these Gentiles. And those observing this, their theology kicks in. You've got to think a little bit like an Old Testament saint to get this.